The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. How can our struggle with sin become a word of encouragement? And we investigate how God's definition of love and the world's definition of love are not the same, plus understanding that acceptance of others does not mean approval of other people's sins.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All righty. Now, before we get into anything else, give you a quick update, if you don't mind. Update on my granddaughter and on my daughter. So I just want people to know. So she wrote a post yesterday, last night. 25 days now the baby has been in the hospital.
Oh.
Wow. There is not a lot of good news, nor bad news, nor any news to share other than they're going through a whole nother battery of tests. It is quite possible that they could be in there as much as another month.
Oh, my goodness.
So it has been a long family struggle. We ask everybody to be in prayer. We would really appreciate it if you guys would pray and just keep them lifted up. It's Julianne and Jared, just the J's of the Spoon family. And then little Easton doing good in the sense of he's being a trooper. Just a lot of stuff going on. Great possibility that we'll have to have the grandkids come back to Texas, like in the first week of Texas, and take care of them again. I forgot all about that parenting thing. I got to tell you, with those kids there for 11 days, it was just all these reminders. And there was one moment where Adeline Joy, that's my first granddaughter, she turned and she looked at me and said something to me. And I tell you right now, I thought, it's Julianne manifested on my couch. It was so funny. So anyway, just keep them in prayer. We're just moving forward and believing and doing all we can from a medical point of view and standing firm in our faith. That's the best that we can do. We're going to do any sponsorships later on because
okay.
I got so much. You know what stuff I got?
So much.
I mean, it's just so. Are you excited? It's Friday. It's the weekend. Almost here, right?
Yeah.
You got to be excited. And our internet, I don't know if it works or doesn't work or.
Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
It's been working on this side of the building, but I'm not sure about what you need to do because our computers in the offices don't work.
Ah, I got mine running through the phone on Facebook Live right now.
Okay,
so
rock on, bro.
If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I don't think the our little app is working. But that's because I don't think it's live on the app thing, is it? I don't think the.
I don't know how that
works. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. All right, ready for this?
Okay.
Good holidays. All right, there are four major holidays. Any idea of any of them?
I thought I heard someone say it's Ice Cream Day.
That is correct. You are right. Ice Cream Day is today. Very good. That's a big one right there. Good job. It is also technically National Cocoa Day or National Hot Chocolate Day, which. I like hot chocolate. I mean, are you a fan of hot chocolate? I like it. I don't know. It's National Salesperson Day. I got nothing for you there except for if you got a salesperson that's really nice, that's a blessing. And if you have one that's really interested in you and not just themselves, that's a blessing. And then it's also technically Official Lost and Found Day.
Oh.
Yeah, I lost that one, but I found it back in the... that's funny. 1759, on this day, the first United States music store opened up, selling instruments and supplies. Also on this day, now this is one of the... You know how I always have one that's cool?
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
All right.
1901, on this day, was the first use of a telephone to capture a felon in the United States. How about that? Kid Curry of the Wild Bunch Gang was arrested in Tennessee after a merchant spotted him and called the police. First time it ever happened.
Wowzers.
That's pretty good.
And FYI, Jen just came in and said, all the internet's up.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Very good to hear. All right. Also, for those that are into stars and dimensions and diameters and stuff like that, the actual first measurement of a star was done on this day in 1920. Almost 100 years ago, 99 years ago today, they did the first star. And then I told my wife, I didn't think you were that old. No. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, she's just shaking her head. I don't know. I don't know what that means. Okay. All right, let's get into it. We're not hesitant. We're not shy. We do want to make sure everybody understands that our job or our desire is to encourage the church and love on the church and strengthen you in your walk. Even if it's just a little bit, that is a complete reach of our goal, and that's one of the things we're going to do. And we're going to actually talk about a scripture that is going to encourage you regarding your sin. So, yeah, we never talk about sin. I think I talk about sin quite a bit. I hope I do of my fair amount, but I hope I talk about grace even more. Well, because where sin did abound, grace did even more abound, as the scripture says. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4 says the following: in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood.
Ooh.
And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when the Lord rebukes you. What? All right, let's talk about this real quick. Everybody has some form of struggle with sin. Now, when we say that, the first thing that people come to mind are the most horrific sins. But Jesus made it pretty clear as he was going through on the Sermon on the Mount that there are many sins that are internal, other types of sins that we might not count as sin. Even in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, internal sin was counted. Remember the 10th commandment? This would have been a good trivia question. The 10th commandment was, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's property, thy neighbor's land, thy neighbor's wealth, thy neighbor's anything. That whole element of coveting or desiring to have what somebody else has, that's an inner sin. That's something that nobody sees you do, but it's inside working in you, and the commandments tell us that's sinful. All right? When we count our in and our out sins, what's that? Our in sins are the ones that God knows about, that you know about, but that nobody else around you knows about. Okay? Those are include fantasies and fears. They include all the things that are unspoken inside, internally in you. Those are the inner sins. The outer sins are a little bit more obvious when you're engaging with people, or if you do something that's egregious to people, to their property, to their bodily harm, anything along those lines, or if you steal something, that's a little more obvious. But all of those are sin. And here's the key. Okay, the wages of sin is death. You can spin it any way you want. Doesn't matter with inflation or not. The wages of sin are still death. When you sin, it's what the word Greek word is hamartia, which means to miss the mark. That means that you fall short or miss the mark in regards to your connection between you and God. You're missing it. You're falling short. Everybody falls short. No, don't get discouraged yet. just so you can understand the difference, that's sin. A transgression is when you do something that you kind of know you shouldn't do, but you kind of know it. So a good transgression illustration I heard the other day from a preacher was when you're driving in Dallas and you're merging and you know you have the white line and then you're supposed to wait for the white line to break up and then you do the merge. Well, people that kind of skirt over, it's like, that's a transgression. Eh, I'm gonna do this. But an iniquity, by the way, an iniquity, worst of all, that's a defiant sin before the Lord, and you do it anyway, and you don't care. So you have sin, you have transgression, you have iniquity. They're all bad. Anything will separate you. Any of these will separate you from God. Any of these will create the wages of sin is death. Here's the key, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So something that you need to be aware of is that even if there is sin, even if there's past sin, let me tell you something, present sin, let me tell you something, future sin. You don't live a lifestyle of sin, but you'll do some things between now and when a trumpet blows for you, either personally or corporately, and the Lord's not unaware of what's going on. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ doesn't go into your life up to the point to you saying yes. It covers your entire life. And not to think that is to really put God on a super short leash. That's not the way to go about it. But look what verse 4 says. And when we come back, I'm going to set this up. But when we come back, I'm going to explain why. But verse 4 says, in your struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I mean, you've fought against it, but meh. Maybe you've done really good in some areas, but meh. Verse 5, and you have completely forgotten, by the way, that's emphatic, completely forgot this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when the Lord rebukes you. It's a word of encouragement when the Lord challenges you in your sin, in your transgression, and in your iniquity. The way that we've presented it in the church and the way that it takes place at an altar call, it's like you have sinned and the end of the universe has come. Well, here's an interesting element for Christians. In your struggle against sin, God wants you to know he is disciplining you. He is going after you and challenging you in that. And that's a word of encouragement. Now follow this. When we get back, I'm going to explain to you how. How is it a word of encouragement if God is challenging me on my sin? How is that a positive? You know what? It is, and you're going to see it when we come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. But it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
For the president of Focus on the Family, when you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now, you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yeah, Texas. I got it going on. We got somebody calling already. Wow, that's kind of okay. If you're calling to order a pizza, I already ate it. Okay, there you go. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. So that's the website, davidspoonmedia.com. Keep in mind, please, that we do donations, and we've almost moved the entire radio show from a business to a ministry. We're a day away. So at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. We do accept donations because we love doing the radio ministry. Somebody on the line?
It's Sam. Well, you want to talk to him?
Sure. I love Sam. Hello, Sam. How are you, brother?
Very good. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, brother.
Hey, earlier you were saying In-N-Out, Sam. I think they have a good burgers.
Yes. Have you had any In-N-Out burgers?
Oh, yeah.
They are legendary, especially in California. They're all over. There's a gazillion of them.
That's for sure. Hey, earlier when you were sharing about your granddaughter, so I've been praying and asking God to give me a word, and I felt like James 1:7, where it says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. So that's a word for you and your son and daughter-in-law and the granddaughter. And then Psalm 139, where it's mentioned like she is fearfully and wonderfully made, and her days being ordained in the book of life, in the book of God. So I believe you don't need to worry because God is with her because he's her Emmanuel. And I want to encourage you, you know, as a grandparent, it's pretty stressful, and probably for her mom and dad, it's very stressful as well. And, you know, like when we go through these times, there's always anxiety and fear and doubting your faith. Yeah, so I just want to encourage you that I'm praying for you and your family and for your granddaughter. I
appreciate
you guys.
That. I appreciate that. And it is a grandson, Sam. I just want to let you know it's my grandson. It's my daughter's child is what it is. But that's really important because I need people praying with me, agreeing with me, because it's a burden. It's a heavy burden you got to bear.
Yes. Sorry about that, because I was driving, so probably I didn't catch everything you were saying. But
that's okay. The Lord knows, and that's what counts. And keep praying for me, brother.
I'm trying
to be a rock for my daughter, but then there's times where me as a rock, maybe water comes gushing out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So thank you for blessing us with your teaching. Hey, I have a quick question. How would you describe to a non-believer about sin and the iniquity?
Okay, so like an iniquity, one of the things we talk about. So the difference between sin, are you asking about the difference between sin and iniquity?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so here it is in a nutshell. Sin is when you do something and you miss the mark, you fall short of God. Iniquity is when you know you're doing something wrong, you know God's watching, and you do it anyway.
Oh, okay.
That's a great, great way to explain that to them.
Oh, like a Democrat? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, somebody snuck something in. I didn't say it. Good job, Sam.
Oh, yeah. I was just shifting. You know?
I gotcha. Hey, brother. Thank you so much for the call.
All right. Love you, brother.
All right.
Have
you
a
too.
Good weekend.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Sam. He's so funny. All right. So let's go back to keep in mind, like I said, we're moving this from a show. It was a business when we first started this, but now it's becoming a ministry. And so we're working on a whole bunch of things there. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. I'm asking God to work on a whole bunch of things there. That's probably more accurate. I want to answer the question, though, in regards to some people understanding how it is possible that our own sin and then the conviction of our sin can be an encouragement. I'm going to tell you this right now. Be very careful with what I'm saying, please, but listen to it carefully, all right? Verse 6, the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his child. Listen to this. If the Lord didn't challenge you in sin, if he didn't challenge you in some of those convictions, then you have a problem. If you're not part of that process where the Lord goes, that's wrong, then you have a problem. You want to know why? Because God disciplines those he loves, and he convicts and coordinates and makes Christ-like those that are his chosen. So what happens is people that have never accepted the gospel and they have this change and the Lord starts working on them and they're like, oh man, I got a long way to go. I got a lot of things to learn. There's other people that hear the gospel and they're so hard-hearted, their conscience is so seared, they don't even respond and they have no desire to change anything and everything they do is just fine and there's no iniquity. They've made their decision against God's kingdom. But you as a Christian, when you are convicted, when the Lord goes, no, that's not right, when he's forming you into the image of Christ, that's a demonstration of his love for you, not well, he's just mad at you, he's just throwing things at you. That's ridiculous. God loves you, and the proof of that love is that he disciplines you and challenges you and makes you move towards a Christ-like life. That's why sin, and in dealing with sin, it can be actually an encouragement. And I know that sounds crazy, but I have a friend who passed on. And in his last year and a half, he was saying, Dave, I'm struggling with some sins, and I'm really feeling bad. And I feel like when I die, I'm going to face the Lord. And it's just a mess. I mean, sometimes I wonder if I'm even a Christian. And I was able to tell this friend of mine, I said to him, and his name was Ron. I said, Ron, I said, the fact that you care is the evidence that God is working inside of you to tell you he's trying to make you Christ-like. And in that is a demonstration of his love. You see, the world defines love as, you know, whatever you feel like, man, it's totally awesome. But that's not how God defines love. God defines love by sacrifice and by discipline. And one of the things that we do for our children, I don't know if you know this or not, but you don't let your children play with sharp knives. In fact, you tell them, don't touch the hot stove. There's certain things and parameters you put on them that you say, no, you can't do that. No, that's unacceptable. That is love. And that discipline you give that child, that is love. And that's the biblical definition in love, is a sacrifice, but it's also a discipline. And the Lord disciplines those he loves. And the fact that you get disciplined is proof that God loves you. The fact that you can't get away with what that other person seems to be able to get away with is the reality check that the Holy Spirit's working in you and saying, hey, uh-uh. Not okay. And that is an encouragement of God's activity in your life. The discipline that comes from God is proof of his love. The discipline that comes from God, the challenge that comes from God, the rebuke that comes from God is because you are his kids. And that's how it can become an encouraging word. Because the reality check for all of us is that we probably don't struggle against sin to the level of shedding our blood. But when the Lord comes in and goes, now you got to do that better. Nope, do that different. Nope, that's not what my word teaches. Now you got to follow this direction. Hey, I want you to go over this way. Hey, I want you to reflect me more by saying this, doing this, being this. All of that is a demonstration of the love of God. Every time the Lord convicts you, he's sending a message to you, not just to be Christ-like, but to let you know he loves you enough and cares about you enough so that he will help you, he will guide you, he will direct you, and not let you just make a mess of things by yourself. The discipline of the Lord is the demonstration of his love. And that's why you don't get away with stuff, because he loves you. And for those that don't know, especially from the all things work together point of view, verse 7 says we're supposed to endure hardship as discipline. Sometimes the Lord allows hardship in our lives because he loves us, because of what it will produce, because of what we will become, because of the level of faith that will emerge out of it. You know, one of the great things to understand is, have you ever heard of the expression about a refiner's fire? How they'll take silver and they'll burn it at a really hot, hot level. And the dross, all the yucky stuff, rises to the top. And they take the dross stuff and they pull it off of the silver. And then you know what they do? They heat it up more. And then more of that yucky stuff raises up, pull it off the top. And then you know what they do? They heat it up more. And then all that yucky stuff rises to the top, and then they pull it all up. That's what God's doing to you. Yeah. He's purifying you. He's refining you. He's making that faith pure. He's making that position you have solid. He's getting out the impurities, and sometimes the only way to get out the impurities is to turn up the heat. I know. That's not my favorite thing either. My favorite thing is winning the lottery and eating banana cakes. I mean, that much stuff like that. But sometimes you got to go with what the Lord's doing. And he only does it because he loves you. I mean, I'm telling you know, as a parent, as a grandparent, as people, sometimes that firm lesson is the very lesson that that child or that grandchild needs. So if that's true between us and our children and we're evil, how much more true is that between us and God? Now, he accepts us because of that discipline, because of that response. It says, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. God's acceptance is wrapped up in you being challenged by God to be more like Christ. It's an encouragement, not just a depression or discouragement. God's trying to let you know I'm working on you because I love you, and I'm never going to break my commitment to you. That's where we're going next, talking about the commitment God has made to us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elkhorn. Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
One, is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Ah, awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there
okay.
is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turned. Second of all, I am not putting God first, and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay, let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank
you. All right,
you.
Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I still want to get that here in Texas. That's a kind of a little twang right there. Here in Texas. By the way, I had a discussion with my wife, so I should probably ask Wonder Julie, because she'll know much better than me. So, Fate, Texas, Rockwell, Texas. My wife was like, that's North Texas. And I'm like, well, isn't that really East Texas? So I don't know how the East and the North and the I know South is everything down lower. So that's what I figured out. What's North? What's considered? Is Dallas North Texas?
Yeah.
So it is. So anything in the parameter?
Yeah, I guess in our metroplex.
Yeah, in the metro. Now, Rockwell's kind of a little bit outside that, right? Because Rockwell's like more to the east.
Well, you know what? It's considered a part of the metroplex.
It is. I lost
the
that
shore,
one.
The shore of Lake Ray Hubbard is Dallas property. And Rockwell's out there. So, you know, it goes far.
Okay. You know what I tried to win on? I tried to win on. We're actually in Fate. And then she just looked at me. That's when I knew right there and then I just lost the argument because this I'm stretching. And actually, it's not even true because half of our backyard, there's Rockwell property, and then it's like a 30-yard both annexed little spot. So they both own it. It's right in our backyard. So I kind of lost that one. I tried, though. You know, you always try. Who doesn't try to win an argument? Who tries to lose an argument? Here, I'm going to argue with you. I lose. I don't think anybody's doing that. All right. Here's our first trivia question. Who was the father of John the Baptist? Right? Question right there. Who was the father of John the Baptist? 972-445-0770. Please do not Google it. Just look for it. Okay? Who was the father of John the Baptist? We're not looking for Heavenly Father. We kind of already get that. Okay? We're looking for an actual answer. Don't forget davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Please send me emails. I like getting emails. Emails are blessings. Tyler, by the way, was a real blessing when he was in the studio. Great guy. He won the tickets. We're very excited. We'll have some other tickets next week for the basketball game. That's cool stuff, too. Who was the father of I call him Johnny B. I don't know why that offends people. I don't know. Why is that? What's wrong with that? That's a simple question. Just got to answer that. Who was the father of Johnny B? Number, what is my number? 972-445-0770. I don't want to harp on this. I just want to make sure people understand. Look, in our walk, there are challenging times. And there are times where the Lord challenges you and I because we're not really reflecting the character. We're not shining the way that we're supposed to shine and reflect Jesus Christ. And the Lord comes in and goes, hey, You got to do better. You got to do this differently. You got to approach this differently. And that he doesn't do that because he's mad at you or he hates you or he resents you or some weird thing like that. He does it because he loves you. I remember standing in a seminar area talking to a gentleman, and he said, well, God loves me, but he doesn't like me. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, I mean, I know he loves me because he has to love me, but he doesn't like me. And so I just said, would you spend eternity with somebody you didn't like? He goes, no. I go, well, you think God's a little smarter than you? So God does like you, and God does love you, and there's things in you he wants to change and things that he wants to rearrange. And when you go through hardships, some of those disciplines are considered – the hardships are disciplines. And we go through hardships on a pretty regular basis because we got a long way to go before we genuinely, fully reflect Jesus Christ. Well, that's okay. In fact, the scripture says God is treating you as his children. And if you're not disciplined, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters of God. It's like, okay. So the encouragement is that God loves you so much. He's so committed to you that he accepts you, and that and acceptance is part of the work that he does in your life. Additional proof of that acceptance, I just want to say, is going to come to us in Hebrews 13, 5, and 6. We'll get to that right after we have the person answer the question. But Hebrews 13, 5, and 6 is going to show you some additional proof. Hold on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Feeling pretty good about the trivia?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I pronounce it right, Zechariah.
Say it again?
Zechariah.
That is correct. Zacharias is correct, sir.
Remember, he's 6 months before Jesus.
That's right. And, you know, I've always thought about this, and I'm just going to ask you, and you don't have to have an answer. Something I've always wondered is, I was wondering what his parents were thinking when he went out to the desert and he was, like, getting ready for ministry. If you were his parents, would you be thinking, what is wrong with him?
Yeah, sure.
I'd be like,
what's wrong with my little boy? Doesn't he want to play with the sheep like the other little boys?
Exactly. I'd be like, man, can't you just like get a job at the paint shop or something, dude? That's kind of thing. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent job. Good answer. Right on target. And I appreciate you calling in. And I'm hoping that the Lord blesses you with a fantastic weekend.
Hi, man. Merry Christmas, Dave.
God bless you. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Uh-huh.
All right. So that great answer. We got that taken care of. All right. Let's go right in. See, I always thought, Johnny B's out there. He's eating locusts and wild honey. And his parents, what are his parents thinking? Okay. they didn't have Lexapro then. You see what I'm saying? There was no Xanax. They didn't have that Paxil stuff. They might have been thinking maybe he should have had some wine. I don't know. That's not the point. The point is that was his dad. I always wonder about things like that because I'm a human. Here's that next segment. Here's something I want you to catch. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says this. Watch this. It's a very fascinating portion. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The reason that I bring this up is because how closely associated this is in God's acceptance. Proof that God accepts you and I. Okay? Now, we're accepted by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what made us righteous. And now God is working on us. But proof that he has an acceptance of us is simply this. He makes the commitment through Scripture, through Matthew, of course, 28, and other portions, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let me say something real quickly. In humanity, there are people that will make the commitment that they will never abandon you, but that does not always turn out to be the case. In God's economy, when he makes a promise, it never changes. The world will pass away before a promise of God passes away, and God makes the commitment and the promise, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Which is walk out on you, which is disappear on you, which is abandon you. God will never abandon you. He will never abandon me. Even though the circumstance feels like he's abandoned us, it is not the case. And if you look at the text in Hebrews 13, this is the next chapter over, where it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you've had because God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That the fact that God will never abandon us gives us a comfort when we're struggling financially. And the irony behind that is, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Only the most a human being can ever do is terminate another person. However, because of God, the resurrection power and his commitment to never forsake us, you will never be abandoned no matter what you go through by the Lord. And you can say, the Lord is my helper. I don't have to be afraid. In fact, the scripture says, I will not be afraid. Same thing David said in the valley of the shadow of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a decision process there. I don't have to be afraid. Now, I know there's somebody's gonna might call in and go, oh, there's 365 fear nots. Not exactly. Just so you can know, it's 165. But there are more than 365 ways the scripture says, don't be afraid, fear not, don't live by fear. You know, why are you so afraid? All of those. And so the point of that is for us not to operate in this spirit of fear, which God has not given us, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so in our lives, we can have a confidence that even though financially it's ugly, and brother and sister, I can sit there with the best of you and tell you about ugly. I can tell you about beautiful. I can tell you about ugly financially. But God has promised, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And in that, we can find a contentment. You can find a soft settle down in your own being because God is with you. Because God is with you doesn't mean you should be rich, doesn't mean you should be poor, doesn't mean any of that. It means that God is with you no matter what the up, no matter what the down, no matter what the left, no matter what the right, no matter north, south, east, or west. The Lord will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. That's part of his acceptance of you and his commitment to you. The tough part is where that leads us to. Don't do it, Dave. Don't do it, Dave. It leads us to a very interesting place. It leads us to Romans 15:7, because you have to take all scripture together, where it talks about acceptance, and it says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So when I come back, when we come back, we're going to take a commercial in about a minute and a half. When I come back, I'm going to talk about this acceptance principle that operates between you and I. But before we do that, I want you to understand that God demonstrates his acceptance to you by working on you. And even the hardships you go through are another testimony of his acceptance and his love for you, and that you can take comfort because he has promised, no matter what goes on, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to abandon you. The way we would say it is, I'm never going to bail. That's what God says to you. I'm never going to bail. I'm always going to be there. That power of his commitment and his presence gets us through. But you got to transfer that info. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the transference. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Or it doesn't matter if your translation says master. Rabbi. It doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Again, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Please feel free to send me an email. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. We've had a couple of changes we've made on the website even this week as we are moving the entire show from a business to a ministry. But once I finish this, I'll be able to tell people, this is how you do it. But I don't actually know because I'm going through the process. So I'm learning it as we go. Also, please be in prayer for my grandson, Easton, and my kids and just the family in the process. And then the last thing I'm going to ask you to pray for me, you can mention it maybe before the Lord is looking at a possibility of a doctorate in strategic communications, a new program that's coming out in the fall of 2020, and I'm praying about it. So I'm just trying to figure it out. All right, so let's just go back to this. I just want to deal with this. I want to thank Wonder Julie because she's always really helpful, I think, for everything that she communicates and just being able to bounce off her every once in a while. See, she's normal, and I'm abnormal. So when an abnormal person can ask a normal person questions, it's very helpful. So thank you. So I appreciate it. Let's finish up on this one thing. It's a very big deal here. And that is this one element in Romans 15:7, which says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So there is a dynamic that takes place, and the world will turn to the church and the world will say, you don't love us because you're not accepting us as we are. That's proof that you don't love us. They, of course, are negating that the biblical definition of love is not just accepting a person where they are and that person makes no changes. If you remember, the woman caught in adultery, when she found forgiveness in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, go and sin no more. There is a change in behavior and a change in character when a person has an encounter with Jesus Christ. And what the world says is, no, you just have to support whatever we decide, whatever we like and whatever we love. Well, that's fantastic, but it's not biblical. Okay? That's kind of do it. If it feels good, do it, which is thousands of years old, and it was a blasphemous kind of mentality then, and it is now. because true biblical love involves sacrifice, involves the betterment of the person, and involves discipline. And the reality check is, with God looking for the best interests of a person continuing in a life of sin is not in their best interests. So if you want to love somebody the way that the biblical definition is laid out, then you let them know this lifestyle of sin is not in your best interests. That's biblical love. So then how do you square away Romans 15:7, which says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God? Well, first and foremost, the accept one another has to do with Christians to Christians. The whole context in Romans 15 has to do with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And the issue comes down to this. That is, many people, unfortunately, have a set of Christian standards that they walk by, but that they also may put on other people. And therein lies the problem. When you accept somebody, it does not mean approving of their sin. That's not biblical. But when you accept somebody, it does mean they don't have to meet your standard of spiritual or your standard of requirement, which might be I give 10% to the church and 5% to this and 5% to this. Nobody has to meet that. That's what you have. It's not an issue of approving sin. We don't approve of the lifestyles of sin. We don't approve of lifestyles that are contrary to what God has declared. We look at the law in the Old Testament, which is a civil, a ceremonial, and a moral law. We recognize the moral law carried over completely into the New Testament. The ceremonial law was completely eradicated by the work of Jesus Christ. And the civil law is supposed to be in submission to the moral law. It just doesn't happen a lot because basically mankind's a sinner, so every time you get a government going, they do weird stuff. Bottom line is, we don't approve of sin and anything that's contrary to God. But differences are not always sin. So if you're a Baptist and you're mad because there's a Pentecostal who has a different idea of how the Holy Spirit's working in their lives, that's ridiculous. To some degree, it's almost buffoonery. And vice versa. And if you're a person that's a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, it's the last thing you should be doing is trying to impose what you believe in the sense of how you walk with the Lord on somebody else. You're not even doing that great yourself. So, I mean, let's at least be honest about it. The idea is for us to accept one another in Christ and to recognize in Israel there's 12 tribes. How many tribes in Israel? 12. I got a message for you. Did you know in the framework of each of those tribes, there are hundreds of sub-tribes? I don't know if you knew that or not. But so in the church, how many tribes could it be? Well, we say 12. There's probably a 100 or 150 or 200 or 300. And everybody's got a little nuance here, there, or there. But there's about 96% agreement in doctrine. So what we're quibbling over is the 4% that we don't agree on. Well, I think that the priest should be dressed up in a suit. Well, I think the priest should be sitting down on a stool teaching. I think that they shouldn't have priests, they should have preachers. I think that everybody should be dressed up. I think everybody should be dressed down. I think everybody should walk in at the same time. I think when the preacher walks in, everybody should stand up. Everybody should sit down. I think when you pray or when you worship, it's got to be out of a hymnal. I think when you pray or worship, it's got to be off a screen, off on the top. I think you got to do it by heart. I think everybody ought to quote the scripture when the person says the scripture. They ought to read it back. I think they ought to engage back and forth. I think we ought to do what Nehemiah said. I think we ought to not do what Nehemiah said. Are you kidding me? That's the issue? How about when they start shooting Christians? You think those are going to be the big issues? Well, I think the stage ought to be 18 inches. Well, it should be 24 inches. I can't fellowship with you. How dumb is that? There's dumb and then there's dumber, and that's both dumb and dumber. Okay, it wasn't that good a movie. But that's not the point. The point is, that's the kind of stuff we got to walk away from. You look at that. So that's not the stuff that you major on. You major on the basics. You major on the truth. You major on the reality. Jesus Christ died on that cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again, according to the scriptures. Read 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, and 3. Paul lays out the gospel so strong and says, this is what we got to agree on. This is what saves us. This is how we stand. Like, wow. Like, yeah, that's the stuff. And you think, well, is it okay for people to fellowship when they have different eschatologies? Everybody has a different eschatology, and I got a message for you. The fact of the matter is I'll give George Ladd, Professor George Ladd, credit when he went through all the eschatologies and showed in the era of mankind, in the time frame of mankind for 2,000 years, the eschatology of the world has always been, and the church has always been connected to world economics, which is terrible. So basically, people are letting how the money system works affect how they think eschatologically. Well, that's not a good thing, is it? Here's what you know for a fact from the Word. God is going to return. Well, how's he going to do that? Not sure. Could be tomorrow for you individually. You think you got the breakdown? Well, they couldn't figure it out the first time because they didn't know anything. Oh, they knew a lot. In fact, when they were trying to track down where Jesus came from, it only took them a couple of months to nail down the scripture and figure out what city he was in. They're not that dumb. But when the Lord comes back again, are we all going to know exactly how it's going to go? Probably not. Does that matter? No. You should be looking for him to come any moment. You should be looking for him to come in 100 years, and you should be living in the tension of the two. And while we do that, we ought to be accepting one another, strengthening one another, lifting one another up, because by this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love for one another, not by your distinctions in your doctrines. You can't get away from that stuff. And maturity is not saying we all think the same. Really? Do you think the way you thought 20 years ago? Or did you grow up some? Okay. I only have a minute left. I have to be nice in the last minute. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and all of the things that we have heard all week long, not just on this show, but on every communication that we've had, everything in your kingdom, all that is good, let it become a part of us. All that is useless, let it fall away. All that draws us closer, let us embrace it and walk in the power of it. We bless you. We thank you. We praise you, Father. We give thanks for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We pray to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in all of our walkings and all of the things that we do. And may in all of it we seek first your kingdom and your glory and let everything else fall in line. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Have an awesome weekend. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.